Okay. Andrew Viviano, a candidate for Spokane County Commissioner, District 2.
Okay. And why don't we just start with kind of your background and stuff? I mean, I know were you a federal attorney or what?
Yeah, I was an assistant U.S. attorney, okay. Also called a federal prosecutor.
Yeah. And so do you want to talk about maybe how that background or whatever else you've done prepares you for a county commissioner job?
Sure. I think, my background even before as a child helped me. I'm a local kid who, you know, grew up here since my 1975, the year I was born out in Spokane Valley. Mm-hmm. Big family, 6 kids, very Catholic. My mom was actually a nun and my dad was a former friar before they met, so I got to experience that at St. Mary's School. Mm-hmm. Interracial family too, so I got to see a lot of what happens with diversity and lack of diversity. And I also got to experience poverty. You know, we had a pretty tough go of things once my parents were divorced. And so I've been there where I had to work from the time I was 11 on, mm-hmm. to buy my own school clothes, to buy my own haircuts, that sort of thing. Work, you know, washing cars at Born Again Bugs or day sitting, mowing lawns, getting jobs everywhere I could. And my story is unusual in some ways, but in the larger picture, it's kind of very common. It's a combination of personal self-determination and hard work and responsibility mixed in with opportunities given to me by others, by society, you know, educational opportunities and hands out up when I needed a break. And because of that, I was able to come back to Spokane after college at Yale, where I met my wife, and work as a mental health caseworker and counselor at Spokane Mental Health, now Frontier, for a number of years.
Yeah.
Got to see what the mental health system is like and how one goes about helping people and really changing lives and what people who are in crisis need. I took that to law school with me, and I went to Gonzaga Law and graduated and was an assistant U.S. attorney. And that was a really eye-opening opportunity for me. I got to see both the prosecution side, how one goes about keeping people safe and charging people with crimes, and how to get the right answer. It's not just about locking people up. It's about doing the right thing for each individual case. So for sometimes that means a long prison sentence, and sometimes it means probation or some other type of diversion program. And got to see that, you know, the awesome power of the government and how it needs to be used correctly and wisely. I left the U.S. Attorney's Office in 2012 to strike out my own path, give myself a little more freedom as far as what causes I took on. Mm-hmm. And I've been a civil rights lawyer since then.
Okay. What, now on your website, and I put down some specific issues too, but your main theme kind of was that the local government isn't working. So do you want to talk about that, and what specifics are you thinking about for the county commissioners? What's wrong with what they've been doing?
You know, the county commissioners, I give them all respect for doing what they think is the best, but I think the problem we have is we've got people on there who come from similar backgrounds with similar perspectives and similar experience, mainly business. A lot of the GSI seems to be the common thread. Either people come directly from GSI or they leave and go right back to GSI, and there's a business community, which is well represented in the county commission. I don't think anyone, a business owner, I am one myself, would argue that they're not getting a voice in the county commission. Mm-hmm. The problem is that with that lack of diversity, we're not getting perspectives about the other critical issues. And right now, the biggest issue facing the county is criminal justice. That's growing to be now at 75% of our budget is spent on criminal justice between jails and courts and prosecutors and such, and sheriffs. And we have not good bang for our buck. We're not getting good results as far as public safety and as far as the treatment of people that are in the system, and it's just not working as we should, and it's eating up the budget that we need to use for other things. So we have the criminal justice reform effort going on. The Spokane Regional Law and Justice Council is put in place with Dr. Van Wormer leading it. I would like to be, as a commissioner, on that committee and help with the efforts, and I can bring to it actual real-world experience that ties together virtually everything the committee is looking at. Looking at the prosecution side, looking at the defense side, like I have done. Mental health is a huge component of any criminal justice effort because it's a huge risk factor and mm-hmm. challenge for the law enforcement community. Having done that, having my degree from Yale in child psychology certainly helps me. And so I know where the money goes after we spend it. I know where it works and where it has an effect to do what we'd like it to do and where it's wasted, where we're simply throwing money away and throwing lives away by using, for instance, incarceration too much and not looking at alternatives.
I saw that you'd mentioned how high our incarceration rate was, which I had no idea was anything like that. But what would you say to maybe the people in the county that think that the and they realize that a lot of the budget's spent on you know, law enforcement violations and the like, but they're concerned about this perception of a rising crime rate and a specifically property crime, because everybody seems to be focused on, you know, burglaries and this kind of thing, and they feel that maybe there's not enough being done, yet we have this high incarceration rate. What's the real answer? What's the problem here?
I would remind those folks that the goal for everyone is not simply incarceration. The goal is to stop crime, or at least reduce the amount of crime. And to do that, we should look at all of the possible tools in our toolbox to get that result that we want. And we have to realize that incarceration is usually counterproductive. Sending someone to jail is often like sending them to criminal college. They have better, when they get out, they have better skills as far as networks of other people that maybe commit crime with, better knowledge of how to do so, and they come out with less opportunities to do legitimate work because they have a criminal record now and that sort of thing.
So what would the answer be then? What kind of things need to be done?
Let me give you a specific example. Here in Washington State, we have the highest amount of incarceration for people who commit property crimes, but we have the lowest, in some places non-existent, supervision for people who have been incarcerated for property crimes. So as a result, Washington State has the highest reoffense rate for property crimes in the entire country. We're actually number one. So we need to flip that. We need to not let people go scot-free and not look at them, but we need to take some of the money that we're spending on incarceration that is more than what needs to be done for our goal of reducing crime, and instead shift that to supervision after their release, a year or two of probation to see how they're doing, make sure they're not reoffending, and to assist them in getting back into a legitimate workplace and deal with any addictions and things like that that might have been contributing to their past behavior. That's what's better for them, and it's better for us.
Okay. You talked about creating jobs, and I know that, I mean, that seems to be everybody's focus, but I know, like, I know you're not running against Al French, but he has always touted the fact that maybe those GSI connections and then his connections with the legislatures enabled him to, you know, work on attracting, you know, big businesses to the area, like they got the big break plan out there in the West Plains and these kind of things. What would you do different to try to attract jobs to the county?
I think I would do things very different. Number one, the county has a huge opportunity right in front of it of creating jobs simply by paying its own employees what they're worth. Right now, we have an egregiously low pay rate for county employees compared to people doing the same job in other counties. Yakima County beats us. I think the last I heard, county employees in Spokane are paid about 80% of the average, which is really bad. It's not only bad for us as citizens because we have a lot of vacancies at the county, and the people who are civil servants are working overtimes and have lower morale than they should have. We're not getting the product we hope to get. We're not really saving money because we're having to pay overtime due to all those vacancies. And it's a job creation aspect. When we pay our employees more, none of that goes to a Swiss bank account. It all gets spent right here in Spokane County on kids' school clothes and groceries. And that goes back into the private sector and creates jobs there. It's the demand is what drives growth. So yeah, there can be some success stories of attracting a business or two here, and I certainly want to continue doing that. But I'm looking at good-paying jobs. I don't want to attract people that are just going to pay minimum wage. And I'm looking at, you know, careers and professionals so that all boats will rise. And by doing that, it also means that the average salary can go up and everyone can do better.
What about in the case of some of those plants that we brought in, the fact that the county commissioners gave, you know, certain tax incentives and the like to these kind of people, do you consider those to be good ideas? Or
I'm very wary of those. I'm not prohibiting them entirely or ruling them out. I think, though, that whenever you do that, you shift the tax burden onto somebody else, and fairness has to come into the equation. And I really would like to attract businesses here based on our great natural resources, our beauty, our school districts, our great market, people here who can buy their products. That's what we should be drawing people here on, not giving them an unfair tax break because they're new to the community, and making people who have been here and have been invested and loyal to the community pay their share.
Okay, good answer. So let's see, the STA issue, the whole transportation thing. I know there was that debate between Shelley O'Quinn and Al French on the on the STA thing, and I know the STA people are now proposing that again. Do you want to just talk about, you had said that one of your important things was just overall transportation, then maybe talk a bit about the STA issue too?
Sure. I think that's probably one of the issues where I differ most strongly from Commissioner O'Quinn. She's been opposed to the STA and to the expansion of that infrastructure. I'm more aligned with Al French and recognizing the value to the community of a strong bus system and other transportation questions. Mm-hmm. It's huge for our quality of life and attracting people here, getting young people to stay here. They often don't want to have cars. And for our growth, it's key for smart growth so that we grow without sprawl and without congestion that makes it harder for us to grow and be a strong business community. It's also key, I think, for the ethic and the ethos of a community to have a place where we say everyone can get around, not just those who can afford to drive. If we want people who are pulling themselves up by their bootstraps to keep doing so, coming out of jail and getting a job or coming out of a tough situation and going to school, we have to give them a means to do so. And any great city you go to in this country or the world has a great transit system. And I think that the money we spend on that, especially with the federal incentives that were offered and the different ways that we're being helped out by a lot of the state and the federal level, it was a missed opportunity and an unfortunate mistake when it was not supported last time by my opponent and it failed. And I certainly hope it succeeds this time.
Right. Now, what about the growth issue? I mean, I know that's kind of the commissioners that have been on the, commission for the last several years have been under fire from a lot of different people with growth concerns, like the Future Wise folks and everybody about them expanding the UGA and then using those numbers for the projected population of the county. Do you have overall concerns with that whole UGA issue, or what are your general thoughts just on growth in the county? Should we try to limit that, or what do you think?
I have a lot of concerns about the way the county's been doing growth governance. You know, one of my values that guides my campaign is inclusion. And that's not just for people that are downtrodden. That's for everybody, for taxpayers and for neighborhoods. And neighborhoods have been excluded from the land use planning process for far too long. The lawsuits that were just settled, one of them was going back 12 years, and three others that are also years long.
Which ones are they? Because it refresh my
The Future Wise one, I think the first one of the four was brought in 2004. And the other ones were, I forget the exact number of years, but it was a 12-year process of this group looking to get some recognition for their concerns. And they won. The county lost at virtually every single stage of this litigation, showing that we weren't doing things right and including them as we were supposed to.
In the whole planning process, I think they said something about just the way the public meetings or something were held.
Right, the public meeting side and the data to support the conclusions was not there.
Yeah.
It comes down to, though, is I was struck by the fact that the county commissioners touted this settlement as a good thing because it gave the neighborhoods a seat at the table, is the phrase they used.
Yeah.
And I thought, why should it take 12 years of litigation just to get a seat at the table? Developers have a seat at the table all the time. And as citizens, we deserve an equal voice in the government, not more, but at least an equal voice in what happens with our planning decisions. Because once you're building a development, that's a public concern. That infrastructure, those roads, that water, those schools, that's something that we're all paying for and we're all dealing with for the next decades, after the developer has left and moved on to another project.
The developers, and it sounds like that's what you're saying, but do you think they have like a little too much influence on the commissioners that are on there now? And that's the first part of the question. Then the second part, you mentioned the infrastructure. In other words, the people end up paying the tab if these areas are allowed to develop because we have to move the infrastructure out to these locations, right?
Right, right. Okay. Yes, I do think the developers have too much influence. I think it does not look good when they're making campaign donations to the commissioners and then getting the county government to serve them in a way that is excellent service, but not the same level of service that other citizens get. I've talked to the neighborhood councils, especially in the Southgate neighborhood, and have seen their frustration about simple requests that aren't even considered. And I think that developers are not bad people. They're doing a good thing by developing our community. But we should have more of a say about what works for our community as far as walkability, for whether our kids can be safe crossing that street, whether the schools can handle the increased population. I mean, Moran Prairie and Mullen Road are already overly full, and the school district has to deal with that, not the developer. So we need to think about that when we're making these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And as a commissioner, I would be listening, of course, to developers, but also be listening equally to the citizens who have those concerns, and trying to strike a balance and find the solution that works for everybody. I've got experience doing that, and I think I can do that there.
Do you have any feelings about, you know, and have you declared yourself as a, quote, Democrat, or do you have a party affiliation in this race? And the question is kind of just, do you think the people of Spokane County will support somebody with more, you know, moderate views than compared to what these other people are on the commission right now?
Sure. I'm a Democrat, and I'm proud to do so. I'm not embarrassed about that whatsoever. I'm progressive. Mm-hmm. I think that the people of Spokane County are willing to look at the person, not the party. And they're also willing to look at the fact that at this time in our history, perhaps a change of party affiliation, or at least a balance of party, is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Having too much of one kind of thought process is not a good thing. And we're seeing with the Republican Party at the national level, state and local level, what it's come to. From Donald Trump on down, this politics of exclusion, of trying to divide people up, of trying to make a gain at the cost of somebody else, is not ethical and is not working. And so I think the approach that I've brought, which is simply inclusion, empathy, valuing everyone as a whole, not dividing anybody up, is actually the best way of doing things. And people of all political affiliation have told me so. They think it's time for someone to bring that to the county commission.
Do you have a few other bullet points you want to hit on while I've got the tape rolling?
Sure.
Certain things that we didn't discuss?
No, criminal justice is basically, I think maybe the work as a, well, mental health is an aspect. We can talk about that afterwards if you'd like. Just that I think if I were to sum up anything, it would be that what I like to bring to government is the value system back. The thing I've heard the most when I'm running for office is people encouraging me to always focus on the fiscal impact of every policy. That criminal justice changes are good because it saves us money, and that's good because it saves money. And that's certainly true. We need to save money. We need to be smart with our dollars because we can't spend the same dollar twice. But I reminded them, and what I've kept doing is saying, yes, but the number one reason we should do these things is because it's the right thing to do. We're better than that. We don't want a criminal justice system that hurts people unnecessarily. And we don't want a mental health system that fails to help people desperately in need. And money is an important thing, but we need to get back to doing what's right first and then figuring out how to pay for it and being smart with money. And that's a change that I think is long overdue.
Yeah, because it always comes down to the jobs thing almost every election. That's all anybody talks about. It's kind of like, there's a lot more going on than that.
Right, it's right. It's a cliche. And, you know, talking to the other public servants in the legislature, talking to the sheriff, when you're not in front of constituents and voters, what we really need to focus on is just doing the right thing and creating jobs the right way and paying for our bills the right way and valuing our employees and valuing the sacrifices they make is really what should be what this job is about. And then the money will work itself out because we're getting the right answer. But we're looking at jobs and finances first. We often step over a dollar to pick up a dime where we're just trying to be mm-hmm. satisfying one small constituency. Like, I've lowered your taxes, but if lowering your taxes meant that I've also decreased services or made the public less safe and increased property crime, I've not done you a favor. And so we need to look at things from the other perspective.
Right.